just thank you that your faithfulness never stops. Your mercies rise more faithful than the sun. Your love is just unstoppable. Great is your faithfulness to us, God. You are so worthy. Just pour your heart right into Him and let it overflow. Just let it overflow from the top of our head to the tips of our toes. In Jesus' name, be seated.
Morning. Oh, I'm so honored to be here this morning to talk to you all and just to be able to share my story of what God has done in my life. And it already made me cry, but I feel like I'm such an ordinary person and God has just done the extraordinary in my life. And I'm not even crying already. But when I told one of my friends, And I wrote everything down because I didn't want to forget, so I'm going to be looking at my notes. But when I told one of my friends I was going to be speaking today, she said, "Oh, that's so perfect. Thanks. That you're going to be speaking around Easter because you live your life from about what he did after the cross." And I thought, well, that's so kind, but also my life really is defined by the cross, and I'm passionate about what Jesus came to do. And I want those around me and our community to know. Sorry. And I want them to take advantage of every single thing that he did. So I'll give you a little background. I grew up here in San Antonio, just a few streets over in Almas Park. I had wonderful Christian parents. I had lots of siblings. And I went to San Antonio Christian School, where in the first grade, I met Casey Harris. I mean, I'm the luckiest girl ever. She was my best friend from first grade till we graduated high school. I just love her so dearly. And we were always attached to the hip, and she would always hang out at my house because I had lots of siblings, and she would say, "I'm going to have lots of kids when I grow up." So I wasn't surprised when she started having babies at 23 and now has 5. And I was like, "I'm getting out of this chaos. I'm only going to have 2 kids. Like, this is way too much for me." But I knew how to do all the Jesus things. Go to the Christian school, go to church camp, go to Christian summer camp, memorize scripture. I knew how to be really, really good and never cause any trouble and look like the perfect Christian on the outside and just, have everyone. I needed to look like the perfect Christian. And I did truly love the Lord, but there was a missing link from my head where all this striving came in and where all this data and information was stored to my heart. There was not this connection. And I knew all the facts about being a Christian, but I had never experienced the Lord and really heard his voice for myself. And there were so many parts of me that had been shut down along the way because I needed to be perfect. I needed to prove myself. I needed to not make a scene or cause any trouble. So parts of me had been stuffed down, and emotions had been buried really deep, and wounds had stayed covered and in the dark because if anyone knew that I had sinned, or even that someone had sinned against me and I was angry about it, then they would see that I wasn't a good Christian anymore. And there wasn't a safe place to really be myself. There wasn't a safe place to bring my hurts and wounds and emotions to the Lord and to ask. I didn't know how to ask him to help me process through them. And I didn't know how to ask him for his truth. So I just stuffed this down, and I kept it hidden, and there was not a place in church for this. Then I went to college. And so for the first time, I wasn't in this really secure atmosphere, and I was faced with things like I had never seen before, and I made really bad decisions. And because when you're told that you just believe that, you have to be good, there isn't anything backing that up. There's no substance. And so the facts of the Bible seemed really boring to me in college. He was so stuck in my head, he was not in my heart. And after college, I went to live in D.C. and then in Houston, and that was just a 2-year period, but it was so lonely. Oh my gosh, I was completely alone. I had no identity. I did not know at all who I was or who God said I was. I really had no purpose. I had no one in my life who was speaking identity to me and saying, Ian, you're amazing. Like, you are worth it. So I was just out there, like, hopeless and floating. I ended up moving back to San Antonio 2 years after college, and I ran into Andrew, who's now my husband. And we had known each other growing up. And when we started dating, oh my gosh, I was so broken. I was just like this small, powerless person. I had nothing to offer. I mean, looking back, I cannot believe he dated me. But it was, I mean, it was just God. Like, there's no other reason. Like, I was looking at Andrew thinking I had this major issue because Andrew was Jewish. And so I have to look perfect on the outside. Everyone thinks I have it all together and I'm the perfect Christian. Even though I'm really disaster on the inside mindset, marrying someone who's Jewish was a huge red flag, big no-no. And so this is where God really started to draw me in, and he started to wreck my religious theology. At this point in my life, I was not walking closely with the Lord, was not hearing from God, but I heard God tell me in my heart, I heard him say, I want you to marry Andrew. He's going to become a Christian, and I'm going to bless your marriage. And I still don't know why or how I even heard that, but like I knew that I was supposed to marry Andrew. And everything about Andrew resembled God to me. He was like his kindness, his humility, his honor, his wisdom. He was so much more of a Christian than like any other Christian guy I dated along the way. And God spoke through Andrew while we dated, and my heart began to heal. And I heard truths about who I was and all the pieces of my life that were so broken and hopeless, like, began to shift and change. And through all this, the Lord really started to draw me near to him, and he started to love on me and show me, like, the hope and the future that he had for me. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And he started to draw me in. He had not forgotten me. And so, okay, so Andrew and I got married. That was 10 years ago now. Somewhere along the way, even though I'd heard that promise from the Lord, I didn't have the tools to know how to steward that promise. And so this little lie came in that I had agreed with. And that lie was that I had to be the perfect Christian so Andrew would become a Christian. I was in charge of making him a Christian. And so the striving came back in, and this little lie just came in and took over. And my agreement with that one lie stole my joy and my peace, and it kept me in bondage for years. And when I was writing about this, I realized, like, how far that lie goes back. And it wasn't just a lie that I accepted after when I married Andrew, but it really was the lie that I accepted as a child, that I needed, you know, that I needed to be perfect, and the enemy had used it to gain greater and greater access to my life. It had stolen so much joy from my life, and it cost me my peace. So I carried on, you know, because it was all about me, and I had to be good. And I will say, we've always had an awesome marriage, and God's always confirmed to me that I was supposed to marry Andrew, but I just thought there's no way, like, he's going to become a Christian, though. But this lie that I had to make him a Christian, like, it came into every aspect of my life, like, every conversation we had, like, everything I did, like, the cooking and the cleaning, everything. Like, I just thought I was so wound so tight, like, I had to be perfect, and then, of course, we just blow up. I mean, it was awful. It was just this vicious cycle, and I wanted God so badly, but I had so much junk stuffed down and hidden that I'd compartmentalized so much from God that I didn't know how to truly give him every aspect of my life. I didn't know that he was loving enough to care for it all, and he wasn't concerned that my mess was too big. About 4 years into our marriage, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma cancer. He was given just a few months to live. This was completely devastating to our whole family. And my dad is incredible. He held on to hope, the confident expectation of the goodness of God. He was like, I know I'm going to be healed. And even if it's not here on earth, it's going to be okay. And he set the stage for our whole family to believe in this miracle. He was so convinced that either way, he was going to be okay. He was able to do treatment for about 18 months. And then after that, and that kept him alive. And after that, there really wasn't anything they can do. So we gathered as a family with our pastor, you know, and read scripture over my dad and said our goodbyes. And as a last-ditch effort, my parents decided to have a healing service at their house. And this was wild to me. Oh, my gosh. Wow. And I had never been a part of something like this. I was mortified, honestly, that my parents were doing this. They had this big one-story house. They moved out all the furniture in their house. They brought in people from the community and who needed healing, and it was mainly physical healing, who needed healing, and they, like, flew this guy in who loved to, like, pray for healing, and they did this all-day service at my house, and I literally stood in the corner shaking and crying. I was, like, I was so upset. I just, like, I can't believe we're at the point that, like, this is all that's left, and, like, my parents have resorted to this. Oh, it was so awful. I thought at the time it was awful. I just had never been exposed to something like this. It was so out of my box. And so I, like, had wanted to be there to support my parents, but I was really freaked out. So, and I had no idea that God was still in the business of healing our bodies and our minds and our hearts. I had no idea. So I remember walking down the driveway afterwards, and Andrew was like, I mean, if your dad gets healed, I'm going to have to rethink this Jesus thing. So the next week, my doorbell rings, and it's my dad at my door. And he's like, hi, I just wanted to drive by and say hi to you and the kids. Wait, what? How are you out of bed? How are you driving? I mean, this was beyond. I could not believe it. And he radically and quickly got better. That was 5 years ago. I know, praise God. That was 5 years ago today. He is completely cancer-free, and he is alive today. And his team at MD Anderson even had him come meet with them and sit down and tell them, like, what did you do, you know? And he was like, I just told him. We had a healing service. We prayed. So, I mean, God really miraculously healed him. And so, I mean, Andrew and I's hearts began to stir. I mean, I had so many questions. I didn't even know, like, who to talk to about this or where to turn, but I knew that there was something else out there than the God that I was striving to serve, and the God that lived up in heaven, you know, while I was down here. So my friend Sarah Anderson, she had been at the healing service too, so we were like, minds were blown. We had so many questions. She invited me to come to WAG with her, and so I show up at WAG with her 5 years ago, this spring, and Ashley Kinzel was there, and she was like, hey, I'm going to be in the back during worship if anyone wants to come back there, and I'd love to pray for you. So Sarah encouraged me to go back there. So I go back, and Ashley, not knowing that God is about to just wreck my life and just totally change my heart. So she just was like, I just want to bless you. And as she's praying for me, she says, the Lord's showing me this picture. And I have never met her in my entire life, never laid eyes on her. She said, the Lord's showing me this picture where you and Jesus are walking up the stairs in your house. And you're holding hands, and he's gazing at you and just adoring you. And you get to the top of your stairs, and he looks down, and your husband and your children are at the bottom of the stairs. And he motions for them to come up. And they follow, and they come to the top of the stairs. And she said, and what he's saying is that all you have to do is look to him, and he promises to take care of your husband and your children. Well, I, like, hit the floor. It felt like there had been chains, these metal chains I had been in bondage for my entire life, and they fell to the ground. I mean, it was incredible. And it unlocked so many pieces for me. I had never been able to even put into words that this fear of mine, like, the fear was so deep, I couldn't even, no one knew about it, I couldn't talk about it, it just was my own thing that I had to deal with, and the enemy was completely tormenting me with. I knew right then, like, Ashley had just given me a word from the Lord, because there was no way she could have known this, and God pierced me so deeply, and the chains fell off, and I was freed in an instant. I knew, like, that all I had to do was look to God. I didn't need to be afraid. I didn't need to be perfect. I just needed to pray for my family. And that day, like, God went from my head to my heart, and I could never go back. I mean, once I had tasted that, I was like, I can never go back to how I used to live. It was something I've been so desperate for my entire life. In that instant, I knew that my stuff was not too much for God. I realized that He wanted all of me, the good and the bad, and He wanted to put His finger on those deep places and speak truth to them. The Holy Spirit came alive in me. In an instant, I knew that God saw me, like, He really saw me, and He knew my heart, and He still loved me so much. And He wanted me to experience freedom here on earth. Like, I didn't have to wait to heaven to see if Andrew was going to heaven. I didn't have to wait to heaven to not have this fear and anxiety. Psalm 139:1 says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you have known me." That was an instant miracle. I truly was instantly healed of this perfectionism and this striving and this fear that I had agreed with and I let take over my life. I'd received a promise that I didn't have to worry about my husband becoming a Christian, and I was just able to then start to pray for Andrew. And I love, like, intercession and prayer so much that I realized really how powerful it is. I just began to bless him and to bless his business, to speak words of life over his future. Well, guess what? Within a month, Andrew, 5 different men that he didn't even know, I mean, very random people in our community, awesome people, but we just didn't know them, called him, but kind of one at a time, saying, they would just call him at work, being like, "Hey, the Lord just had me out in your heart today. Do you want to go grab coffee?" And he'd be like, "Well, I don't drink coffee, but I'll grab a stiff drink." So they would go. So, like, he came home within the month and was like, I've had the most incredible conversations with people. I think I want to be a different person. And I thought, wow, this is really what getting out of the way and giving all of your anxieties to the Lord looks like. You know, like it says in Peter 5:7, once I could get myself out of the way, the Lord could come in and do his thing. He came in with a miracle. All I had to do was look to him and fix my eyes on him. He really would come, like he promised. And this way was so much sweeter than if I had been controlling the situation or making it happen. Instead, God told me, "And you just get to sit back and watch me perform a miracle. You get a front row seat." Over the next few years of our marriage, I got to watch Andrew seek the Lord and dive into his word, walk alongside godly men who counseled him. And I saw the favor on Andrew's life. I mean, truly, when you are a Jew that comes into the fullness of Christ, I mean, it is like walking under an open heaven. And I got to dive into something so different with the Lord. Like, I wanted to know this whole new side of God that I had never met before. I wanted to meet the God who healed my dad. I wanted to meet the God who gave me that beautiful word that changed my life. I wanted to know if I could still really pray for healing. And I wanted to see if God could heal any more parts of me that had been kept in the dark. I wanted to walk and not be afraid. I knew I had experienced God. I could not deny it. There was nothing you could say to me to make me think that I had made this up. I was seeing the Lord work in ways that I thought only happened in the Bible. I was so curious and had to know this God. It lit a passion inside of me. Instead of how I used to live, which is like making myself read the Bible and going to Bible study in church so I can check the box, I felt transformed from the inside, and I was so desperate to read his word. I was so desperate to connect with him. I would count down the days till I got to go to Wagon Church again. God brought friends into my life who wanted more of this also. We walked together. Ashley took us under our wing and, I mean, taught us everything we know. She taught us how to hear God's voice, how to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. She taught us how to draw from His Word, that His Word was truly alive and living and breathing. God is so gracious in this community. I mean, this is such a radical community. There's so many people on fire for the Lord in this community. I was so not alone. And so I was diving into this whole new subject, you know, and all this Holy Spirit stuff was a little much for Andrew. I was not going to discuss this with him yet. So I felt like I was maybe like going into this new stuff, like, I don't know why. It was just the enemy that I was like, I'm uncovered. And I shouldn't be doing this without him. So I maybe only had like 1 month of feeling like this. And all this whole big story from my dad's healing till Andrew coming to know Christ, like this was like a 3 month period, five years ago. And so I was feeling like, well, I don't know. I wanted all this stuff, but I felt kind of funny going, not even like really, I couldn't really even talk to Andrew about it because I didn't want to freak him out. So, I was asleep one night, and around 3 a.m. in the morning, my dog wakes me up, and I roll over, and that never happens. I mean, I'm a really deep sleeper, so I rolled over, and sitting in the corner of my room, where, like, the ceiling meets the wall, were two angels. And they were just kind of tucked up there. And when I turned around, when I rolled over, they just opened their wings and they flew down and landed on me. And they laid on top of me. And they were huge. They were 6 feet tall, covered in feathers. And they covered every part of my body. And they sang just heavenly songs and prayers over me for about 2 minutes. I just laid there. And it sounds scary, even when I tell it, it seems like that, it feels scary to me, but it was so peaceful when it happened. It was just a taste of the peace of heaven. It was incredible. And then they flew off, and when they flew off, God whispered in my ear, "Anne, you are covered. I hold you, and I hold your family." So now I thought, okay, wow, I'm really in deep now. I am like, what is happening in my life? I cannot deny that I've just seen this huge physical healing. I have firsthand experienced healing and freedom from my own emotions and fears, and now I've had an angelic encounter. So I cannot deny that the God that I read about in the Bible is still alive today, and He's the same today. I'd always been taught that, growing up, I've been taught that, like, what happened in Bible times then stopped, and that was not available for today. So my theology, again, was completely wrecked. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So since that time, 5 years ago, I've been so blessed to walk in Kingdom community. Christ Healing Center has been a huge piece of that for me, for my faith. I've taken several classes here and learned so much about how to hear God's voice and how to pray and how to connect with the Lord and how to separate out the enemy's voice from my voice so I can really hear God's truth. And I've had the honor of walking alongside so many friends and seeing God do it again in their lives. I've seen Him work miracles in friends' marriages and in their families and in their bodies. I feel like once Andrew and I got whole, we got healing, we grew in our maturity, we just became passionate about turning back and saying, like, you know, to our friends that had not come into this, like, saying, "Hey, look, like, look what He has done. Like, it's not, it is what it is. It is that God can do so much infinitely more. And come walk with us. Come hear what God is doing." I'm passionate about telling people there is hope. God came to do so much more. He's desperate to see us take a hold of our inheritance. Yes, He did die so we can, to forgive us of our sin, so we can go to heaven. And He also died so we can experience wholeness here on earth. And we can experience restoration here on earth. And we don't have to wait. It is part of our inheritance. He died so we can have full access. The veil is torn. We can hear the Father's voice, and he's such a good dad. I feel like before Andrew and I, before the Lord just radically changed our lives, we were just on this track going nowhere. We were searching for truth, and we didn't know where to find it. Nothing was ever enough. Money was never enough. Our house was never enough. Social stuff was never enough. Nothing ever really fulfilled us. Friends were never enough. And we really feel like we got a second chance at life. We got to look at our life and say, like, no, this isn't what we really want. Like, we want real community. We want friends who are going to walk alongside us through the thick and the thin and point us to Jesus. We want a marriage that isn't just great, but it's the best. We want our kids to be powerful children of God. I don't want to get to heaven and say, wait, there was so much more available on earth for me. And I missed so much of that. I wish I'd taken advantage. I wish I had known. I'm such an ordinary person, and God has truly done the extraordinary in my life. I'm so thankful to him for that. When I was finally able to let my guard down and invite God in, he just exploded in my life. And when I was finally able to stop controlling and striving, God lit my family on fire. And it was the easiest thing I've ever done. You know, I got to step back and pray and watch and see God usher in the miracles. So I want to bless all of you with that today. If there's any place in your life where you feel like there's some place, something that you're holding back, if there's any place that you feel like you are needing God to show up in, you're needing God to put his finger on and shine his light on, I bless you with the courage to say yes. Because we were not made to be anxious or fearful. And once we open up these places to the Lord, things shift. He always moves when we say yes. I've never seen him not move. But he has to be invited. You know, he's such a gentleman. And we get to partner with him and see him move. I want you all to know, like, it is available to us. But are we willing to, like, move out of the way and really put him on display and watch him do the miraculous? I wanted to close with these two verses. They're from Ephesians, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. In Ephesians 2:22, it says, "This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you." And in Ephesians 4:21-24, it says, "If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard his truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that sprung from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness." Amen. Thank you all so much for listening today. Thank you. And I just encourage any of you to come up and get prayer. We would just love to talk with you and pray with you. Bless you all.